This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين؟ إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون. فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون. فأوجس منهم خيفة قالوا لا تخف وبشروه بغلام عليم. فأقبلت امرأته في صرة فصكت وجهها وقالت عجوز عقيم. قالوا كذلك قال ربك إنه هو الحكيم العليم. قال فما خطبكم أيها المرسلون؟ قالوا إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم مجرمين لنرسل عليهم حجارة من طين مسومة عند ربك للمسرفين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Today, inshallah, we're going to look at a new chapter in the life of Ibrahim عليه السلام. The way the Quran talks about him is that there is a brief encounter with Nimrud, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. I'm going to get to that after this episode, even though chronologically it appears that that one is before. We're going to look at Ibrahim عليه السلام now. We're going to glimpse of him in his very old age. And he's married and he lives with his wife and they've both become very, very old. If we go by the biblical account, he's in his 80s. So that's the biblical version, that the first child he gets is when he's in his 80s, and the next one, another 14 years after that. So Ismail is the younger one in the 80s, and the younger child, Ishaq, is actually 14 years later after that, maybe 98, 99, maybe even 100 years old by the time he has Ishaq alayhi salam. So both miraculous births, actually. Now, in this story, what Allah says is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Has the news of the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam that have been honored by Allah, has that ever come to you? Meaning this is Allah's way of enticing the interest even of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, for example, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى, or he says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Right now he says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Haven't you heard this? Now the way to, you know, there's some people that like in conversation, you already know the answer, but they put it in the form of a question, you know, and they like to think in the form of questions. Well, one reason you can do that is to actually kind of create an emotional comfort with someone that you're talking to. Like a parent can do that to a child and say, do you know what I got for you today? And the kid's like, because you could just say, I got you something. Or cruel parents can say, nothing. No, I got you nothing. Have you seen your face? Why would I get you anything? Look at your math score. I got you nothing. But the idea is, but when you ask a question, you're trying to create a gentleness, right? So there is a level of, there's an element of gentleness in these words. The flip can be, do you know, have you realized, and you put a question like that, well, that becomes a threat. So it actually, behind these words, what the Balagha scholars call al-ma'ani al-thawani, secondary meanings, are about trying to understand what is the tone of the speaker. What emotion is being solicited by these words? I've spoken to you about this on numerous occasions, but you know, words like okay or yes, right? Those are easy enough words, but you can hear the word okay and it could mean something gentle, okay, or it could be okay, okay, you know, or okay, yeah. They're all okay, they're spelled the same way, right? But they're completely different in what is behind them, right? So words aren't just about figuring out what they mean in the dictionary and figuring out what they mean in grammar, but there's also the rhetorical aspect. What is the intended meaning behind it? And what it seems to be the case in this is that Rasulullah is being given comfort, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, at a time when he felt there is no support and his mission is pretty much over, and he does not have a legacy to carry forward, it is at that time, at that old age, that Allah Azza wa Jal answered his prayer. So I'm going to connect this to what we said in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. Ibrahim alayhi salam had said, وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. And he said, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Connect me and join me with good people. But pretty much his whole life he's been alone. He's been traveling alone, right? He's on his own in Ummah, كَانَ أُمَّةً. And now in his old age, when after an entire lifetime of making, of having that dua seemingly unanswered, Allah sends guests to his house. And they appear to be human beings, but these honored guests are actually angels. A number of them, maybe perhaps three, they come to his house. Definitely more than two, because al-mukrameen is jama' mudhakkar salim, right? So it's the plural form. My grammar students call these the combinations, una, ina, ina. So it's more than two, right? So it's at least three that are coming to his house. And they seem to be very nobly dressed, right? And al-mukrameen could mean that Allah has honored them. It could also mean they seem to look like they are, some kind of a royal guard or something like that, and they show up at his house. If dakhalu alayhi, when they entered upon him, meaning they knocked on his door, he opens the door, he sees these three angels or these three human beings dressed, and you can tell they're not from around town, right? And those, so they say qalu faqalu salaman, they said salam, they said peace. And the word salaman is mansub, it's nasub form, salaman. Qala salamun. You hear the un at the end of the salam, it's marfu', it's in the rafa' form, right? And so the salaman is actually a maf'ul mutlaq, nusallimuka salaman. There's a hadhf, it's called a verb, the omission of a verb. What that means basically is we extend peace to you. And the short way of saying that is just salaman. Or like in Arabic, we say marhaban, right? It's actually nurahibuka marhaban. But we don't have to say nurahibuka, we just say what? Marhaban. Or we say shukran. But it's actually ashkuruka shukran. But we don't say ashkuruka, it's too much. We just say what? Shukran. This is called the maf'ul mutlaq, right? And it represents the entire statement. It's the same way we say subhanallah. It's actually usabbihu subhanallah. That's what that is. That's why it's mansub, subhana. That's why it's like that, okay? So when they say it, what that represents is we extend peace to you. That's what that means, okay? And this is important because they are strangers, and when somebody says peace in the ancient days, that means we have given our word that we mean you no harm. Because strangers could come for whatever reasons. Back in the day, raiders could come and knock on your door and kill everybody in the family and take whatever they want. It was, it was the wild west and then some back in the day, right? So when they say salam like that, they don't mean harm. Okay, qalu salaman. Ibrahim alayhi salam responds. He says salamun, and this is marfu'a, which means this is an indication of a jumla ismiya. What that means is there's no verb behind it. So salaman, there was a verb behind it. We extend we extend peace was already inserted in salaman, but it's not inserted in salamun. It's the jumla ismiya form. Now, what does that do? Well, first of all, what Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying is actually in line with what the Quran was going to reveal thousands of years later. If somebody, إِذَا حُيِّتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ, so then if somebody extends a good greeting to you, if somebody says salam to you, right, then you have to respond with بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رَدُّهَا. Respond with something better, or at the very least, respond in kind, reciprocate, at least equal, right? So when Ibrahim alayhi salam says salamun, the marfu' form, what it means is, I pray peace itself shall fall upon you, shall come upon you, which means peace from me, peace from my family, peace from Allah Azza wa Jal. Peace when you're with me, peace when you're not with me. I hope peace stays with you your entire lives. Like all of it, because there's no subject. It's not reduced to a subject or a verb, because a verb has a tense, right? Verbs have past tense and present tense and future tense. Well, when they said salaman, this is in the present tense. In this current moment, we offer you peace. But when he said salamun, he's saying, may peace be with you when you're with me, when you're not with me. May peace be with you eternally. May it come to you from me. May it come to you from all directions. May it come to you from Allah. Like salamullahi alaykum is included. Salami alaykum is included. Assalamu alaykum. All of it's included. And it may come in ways that are unexpected or unknown, because the tanween is for tanweer or tanawwur. It expands the scope of it and it gives a variety. May all kinds of peace come on you. It's so beautiful. And he responded with something better, right? So this is the tradition of the Muslims. Sometimes somebody says to you, assalamu alaikum, say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I was in the habit of saying assalamu alaikum, and I was at an airport. I didn't know that the guy recognized me, and I'm checking getting my stamp in Turkey, and he goes, I said assalamu alaikum. He goes, where's the wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh Noman Ali Khan? And I was like, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So he wanted more. He got me good. I got slammed at the airport. Anyway, so he responds with something better. Now he's responding with something better to strangers. In that, embedded is actually a mentality that Ibrahim alayhi salam carried with him. He met strangers all the time. He doesn't, by the way, nowadays when we say salam, it is an indication that someone's a believer. Right? So assalamu alaikum is the signature code between Muslims around the world, right? Unless you go to Philadelphia, where it became part of the culture, and so now people say assalamu alaikum, brother, and then that doesn't mean that they're Muslim. They just say it because that became a thing in Philly, in parts of Philly. But other than that, the salam is actually a kind of a guarantee that the person you're dealing with is a Muslim. And Allah even alludes to that later on in the Madani Seerah, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Don't say about somebody who just throws salam your way that they're not a believer, right? Because salam makes us assume that. But this is the olden days. In the olden days, somebody can say peace to you in any language. That doesn't mean that they are believers. But Ibrahim alayhi salam means well for believer, non-believer, for anybody who comes to him. They extended him salam and he wants to give them so much more. He prays for that for them. It's so remarkable that he just wants good for people. Even people he doesn't have anything to do with. He just has this intention to just benefit someone, anyone. And he's praying for them. He doesn't even know these people. He's praying for them. They actually said salam not because they're praying for him. They said salam because they're assuring him that they don't mean harm. But when he's responding, he's not just responding. He's actually praying for them. That's actually taking it a few steps further. Which is really beautiful, that if we have that mentality towards our neighbors, our non-Muslim neighbors, anybody you're sitting on a plane next to, anybody you're at work with, at a restaurant, at the cashier, at the grocery store, just people you run into, you just want good for them. You don't even know them, but you want something good for them, And you have this inside of you. And that's the thing about Ibrahim alayhi salam. What's in his heart is what comes to his tongue. There's no conflict between what comes out of his mouth and what's inside, right? So you can have Muslims who hate each other's guts, but they still say, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. But they don't mean salam at all. I hope you fall down the stairs today. But the way they translate that is, Assalamu alaikum. What is inside is what's coming on the outside. So he says, Qala salamun. But then I pray for you, but that's not enough. Qawmun munkarun. People unknown, aren't you? Like, I don't know you guys. So he's basically trying to say, haven't seen your kind around here, and haven't seen you guys before. You're pretty alien to this area. And he's hoping that they're going to say something. Yeah, of course, we came from, New Jersey, and it's a different planet. But they'll say something. They don't say anything. Qawmun munkarun, you see no response from them. So they're like a little bit secretive, you can tell. Right, they're not very forthcoming about where they're from. Contrast it with Musa alayhi salam when he went to the Sheikh in Madian. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. A stranger came, right? And he told him his whole story. Yeah, I was in Egypt and I punched somebody and they died. And now I'm wanted for murder. And that's why I was helping your daughters with the water, because I was going to die of dehydration myself. And he just told his whole story. But these angels, they come to Ibrahim, they're not saying nothing. They're just, Qawmun munkarun is what Ibrahim says, and they say nothing. So anyway, فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. So he says, just come in, it's okay. So Ibrahim invites them in, and he rushes to his family, meaning his old wife. And he basically gets her, and he and her start preparing a meal. And they have animals, and they have a ijl, which means a calf, meaning a baby cow, right? So they slaughter the baby cow, they skin it, they start barbecuing it in the backyard. These guys are sitting there waiting, chilling, and the old family is making food for them. And the baby calf meat is the tender meat, right? So they're preparing the most tender kind of meat, and he brings this entire feast, which I'm sure takes some time. And then because they don't have that ready, right? They don't have microwaves back then, and they didn't get this from, you know. So they bring this thing, and he cooks it, he puts it in front of them. And these are men that clearly they're not from town, so they're travelers. So what do you know about travelers? You know about travelers that they get hungry, right? I've done a lot of road trips in my life, especially with, you know, some friends, right? And when you go on a road trip and it gets past a 1 hour mark, there's always someone in the group who says, yo, we got to stop somewhere. You know, see a sign. I see a sign. And they're not talking about a spiritual sign. They see a sign for McDonald's fries or something. That's what they see. But the idea is when you travel, you just really can't wait to get your hands on food, right? And, you know, since one guy, usually his only navigation contribution is he's looking up halal restaurants on the way. This is all he does. You know, there's this spot 40 miles from here. We have to take a detour. I already checked the reviews, talked to the owner, everything. Okay, so they bring the food, and he's expecting that these young men are going to just dive in. They're just going to eat the food. It's fresh meat that's put right in front of them. So فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. So he put it right close to them. Like, he's not even going to eat it first. He wants to give them hospitality. He puts it close to them. And then he notices, he says, قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. He said, you people, you're not going to eat? They're not even looking at it. They're not interested. The smell's going in their nose, and there's just no reaction. That's not humanly possible, right? So now he's like, something's up. Something's wrong. And this is some scholars commented on this, that in the ancient world, there were different kinds of people. Obviously, governments were there, kingdoms were there, but a lot of places were lawless, right? A lot of places were in between kingdoms or so far away from the main city that you could get away with anything. You could kill someone on the road and pillage and whatever, and nobody would know about it, right? But, and they had people that were assassins that were paid to kill, or they were paid to rob and steal from a village. And pun intended, the assassins back then did have a creed, right? And they did believe that if we're going to kill someone, it is against the code of the assassins to eat their food. So if we eat their food, we can't be killing them. It's part of their honor code, honor among killers, right? So he gives them fresh food, and what are they doing? They're not eating. So now that might be a problem, because that might mean that they're going to kill the family, right? Kill everyone in the family, kill him and his wife. فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. So he expressed from them a very delicate form of fear. So he didn't just say, you're not eating. Like, it's not expressive. So wajas is actually a form of fear in Arabic that is barely noticeable. Like a small change of expression on the face, or a little bit of sweat pouring down, or a little bulge on the eyebrow, or some, maybe the eye wanders just a little bit. Or a person looks like for a second they got lost and thought, like a little bit of that. He doesn't want to show his cards immediately, right? Because he's making contingency plans. So he felt a level of fear from them. They sensed it right away, and they said, لا تخف. No, don't be scared. We're not here to kill you. Relax. So now we can tell you why we're here, right? So now he's like, okay, well, alhamdulillah, they're not killers, right? What are they here for? وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. Well, we came to give you good news. You're going to have a boy who's going to be very knowledgeable. Congratulations to the family. Not only will you have a baby, that's walad, right? That's walad. But actually here, Allah uses the word ghulam. And ghulam is like 9, 10 years old. So now not only are we going to have a child, he's going to grow up. And by the time he's a boy, he's going to be super knowledgeable, right? So there's a description of even the child as he's growing up inside of these words. And so he knows that these are angels. And as they say that, we came basically to congratulate you on behalf of Allah that you're going to have a child. That's why we're here. And his wife, who had just finished cleaning up the baby calf, skin situation. She heard them say that he's going to have a child. فَأَقْبَلَتِ امْرَأَتُهُ فِي صَرَّةٍ. So his wife is all of a sudden frozen. And so, what? Huh? I think I did that well. But so she's just in absolute shock. فَصَكَّتْ وَجْهَهَا.
What?
And then she screams out, وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ. She said, old woman, was never able to get pregnant. First of all, I couldn't even get pregnant when I was 20. And now you're telling me I'm going to get pregnant. So she's in shock and she laughs about it. Ibrahim alayhi salam has no reaction. The thing with Ibrahim alayhi salam is he's jumped into a fire that became cool. Okay, so he's been around the block a little bit. He knows how Allah Azza wa Jalla does the impossible. He knows that. So when he hears this from the angels, he's calm. But his wife is in absolute shock. Ajuzun aqeem, you know. By the way, so when she screams this out, the angels turn to her and they talk to her. They say, قَالُوا كَذَلِكِ. They say, yeah, that's exactly how it's going to be. That's what we said. كَذَلِكِ. قَالَ رَبُّكِ. Your master said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ. This is exactly how your master said it, meaning we're not saying this. This is coming from Allah. That's not from us. We're not here to convince you how it's going to work. We're just saying Allah said it. So the mandate from Allah is that they're going to have a child. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the one ultimately who is wise. He is the one that has ultimate knowledge, meaning how it's going to happen is with Allah. And Allah's wisdom that you didn't have a child all these years, and Allah's wisdom that you will have it now. The lesson we learn is sometimes we have an expectation in the world. We have expectations that when a person is at a certain age, then they're going to get a job. Then they're at a certain age, then they're going to get married. Then they're at a certain age, then they're going to have children. Then they're at a certain age, then their kids are going to do this, this, this. We have these societal kind of standard expectations, right? And a lot of times we're not able to meet those expectations. Somebody wants to get married. Some woman wants to get married. Her younger sister got married. Her brother got married. All the cousins got married. She can't get married. And she's like, Allah hates me. Allah doesn't want me to get married. And you know, it's never going to happen for me. And you're looking at everybody else that met the societal expectations and you weren't able to meet them. Or somebody was going to college and their parents passed away, or their father passed away, or something happened, and they're not able to continue their work. They have to go and get a job. Right? So all their peers, cousins, whoever else, they graduated, they moved on, and they're still stuck in school and they're still struggling. And they're like, everybody else moved on in life. I wasn't able to meet those standards, right? But what does Allah Azza wa Jal say when he tells this family, he made this dua, al-hiqni bi salihin, so long ago, and Ibrahim alayhi salam could have been given a child all these years, could have been given tons of children in his youth. He could have raised an entire nation of children by himself. Like, he could have done that. Allah could have given him, like he gave Yaqub alayhi salam. You know, he gave him 12 sons. He could have given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Allah chose that for some people, the timeline for these things is different from others. There is no normal. There is no standard. The standard is what Allah decides. So we shouldn't look at social norms and social expectations and then say, well, they don't apply to me, therefore I'm a failure. Therefore Allah doesn't love me, or Allah has a worse plan for me than everybody else. No, maybe because you're unique. The story Allah crafted for your life is unique. And so it's not going to fit with anybody else's. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else's story. Stop comparing yourself for someone, oh, they got married at 25, I'm already 28, I can't get married. They had a child when they were 30, I'm already 33, I can't have a child. Don't do that. Just stop doing that. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Because Allah has given every one of us a different set of plans, and every one of our plans is filled with the wisdom of Allah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. This is how your master said it. He's the one that has that wisdom and he knows. He knows why and when. But we know one thing. Whatever he knows that we don't know, whatever he does know and whatever he does decide is always full of wisdom. So that's what the angels tell the wife. And as I leave you today, Ibrahim alayhi salam is not thinking about the baby. But the wife was thinking about the baby. Ibrahim alayhi salam is like, I know my Rabb. My Rabb does not send three angels to tell me about one baby. There's something else going on. So he says something's fishy. So they come here and they want to eat the food, and then they want to act all like, and I thought they were killers, but they're not killers. Okay, then we're going to congratulations on the baby. Okay, okay. He says, Ma khatbukum ayyuhal mursalun. I love the genius of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He senses something. So he says, so what's your real mission, messengers? Why are you really here? What's your real deal? Right? So you're not here to kill me. You're here to tell me I'm a child. But something else is up. Why don't you tell me what's really going on here? So the way he's processing that situation is very different from the way his wife is processing that situation, right? She's still dealing with the shock of she's going to get pregnant. But he's like, yeah, that okay, Allah can do that. Yes, Allah controls life in the Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. He's already had that episode. I'll tell you about that episode tomorrow, inshallah. So he says to them, yeah, so why are you really here? And they're like, qalu inna ursilna ila qawmin mujrim. We were actually sent to a criminal nation. لِنُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّنْ طِينٍ, so that we can shower upon them stones made of clay, baked with clay. Each one of those stones are musawwama, they're branded, عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ by your Rabb, for those who excessed, meaning it's like a sniper bullet coming from the sky with the name of the target on the bullet. Right? That's what Allah has decided. So, oh, you're not here to kill me, but you're here to kill an entire nation, I see. So they are killers. They are here to destroy. So they came to give good news to Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's their minor stop. And their major stop is they're going to head towards the nation of Lut alayhi salam. And they're going to rain fire from the sky on those people. That's their next stop. These are the same angels that came to the house of Lut alayhi salam next. Right? So they let Ibrahim alayhi salam know that that's what we're actually here for. That's our real mission. Okay, so this is what's captured in Surah Al-Dhariyat so far, right? That's what we're learning, that they are going to kill everyone, and it's going to be a unique, like individual punishment kind of punishment. It's not like a flood came and drowned everybody, it's like a collective punishment, but each one of them is getting shot specifically. Each one of the criminals. This is a unique, you know, like interesting form of punishment that is not described anywhere else. And by the way, if you study the punishment given to the nation of Lut alayhi salam, by the way, and I should say a couple of things. Lut alayhi salam is an honored messenger of Allah. And I hate the fact that Muslims use the word Lut in disgusting ways. That's the name of a messenger. You should be ashamed of yourself. And they call the you know, certain acts, shameless acts, they call it liwata, which is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Because we have to have honor for messengers. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. We don't drag their name in the mud because of what they had to face. You see, so you should have respect for the names and the legacies of the messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam. That's number one, right? So number two here is, if you study the punishments given to the nation of Lut alayhi salam in the Quran, Allah will say he drowned the Pharaoh and he killed, you know, Thamud and Ad, and there's a list of nations, and then he gets to the nation of Lut, right? Consistently, you will find the way he describes their punishment is different from all the others. Consistently. Like he hits harder on that nation than any other. When he starts describing it, you can see the tone gets more aggressive, gets more, you know, read Surah Al-Qamar as a case study, for example, on your own. Study Surah Al-Qamar. Look at all the nations that God destroyed, right? So, you know, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ, you know, عَادٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, etc., etc. Then قَوْمُ لُوطٍ. When you get to the punishment, like something changed here. Something happened here that didn't happen before, you know. So this is it's a rage of Allah manifest that He wants to do this with this nation, and He didn't even do it baghtatan wahum la yash'urun. Like, you know, normally He says the punishment will come to them. All of a sudden, they won't even know. But no, first He's going to send them angels. He's going to let them get even worse than they already were. Let them dig their hole even deeper, and then He's going to punish them. It's a whole plan for their destruction, right? And so when he does that, they haven't done that yet, but they've told Ibrahim alayhi salam, that's the plan. That's what we're actually here for. And from here, Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to have a conversation with them. So the conversation about his own child is kind of put in the background. Alhamdulillah, I'm going to have a child. But now the real conversation is going to begin. Which is recorded elsewhere in the Quran. We're going to talk about that. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikrihi. Sorry, I took so long today.